Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Good morning, Metroplex. Happy hump day to you.
Day.
Sean, RJ, and Bobby Belt back with us. We got Peyton running things behind the glass live on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. A ludicrous ticket giveaway in the 720 commercial free expressway. Mary Kay Cabot, one of the best insiders on the beat. And she's working in Cleveland. She'll preview Browns Cowboys at 8 o'clock. We will also chop it up. But let's go around the rest of the NFL real quick. The San Francisco 49ers are becoming more whole as they finally got Trent Williams done. It's a restructured 3-year, $82 million deal that includes $48 million at signing and a $25 million signing bonus. So he's going to make $27 in cash this year. His agency says that is the most of any offensive lineman at the age of 36 years old. No talk anywhere that Trent Williams is too old for this type of money. No one worried about that whatsoever, as he accrued more than $4 million in fines for missing the entire preseason. Maybe this is why no one questioned his age, because he was ranked as the best pass blocking tackle last year with a 96% pass block win rate. They average 6 yards per carry when running to his side. They average 4.5 on all other rushing attempts. He missed 2 games last year, played only 12 snaps in a meaningless Week 18 game. The Niners were 0-4 in those games and 12-1 in all the others.
He's ended more careers with dirty play than he has probably holding calls in his career. But he is a tremendous player.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah, no, I mean, nothing has...
More of a Hall of Famer than Tyron?
Yes, 100%. He's better than Tyron. He's got better longevity than Tyron. He is, I mean, still to this day, probably the best run blocking and pass blocking tackle in the NFL.
So, all joking aside, is he, though, really a dirty player?
No, I don't think so. I don't think of him that way. He's kind of a D, yeah. and that, I think, gives him reputation. But
he's an enforcer.
He slapped Richard Sherman. I would think that would cause people to love him. But I guess not.
Who was the Raiders crazy? It was Incognito. People thought
Richie
it was dirty.
Incognito was nuts.
Richie Incognito was the one that got pushed out of Miami for the Jonathan Martin stuff with all those texts and everything that had come out. But yeah, Incognito was the same sort of way.
All right. Gerard Mayo is trying to clarify. Why did you say that Drake May outplayed Jacoby Brissett and then you named Jacoby Brissett the starter? And he said, quote, I should have given more context to the comments. Drake had more playing time in the preseason than Jacoby, and that was intentional. Man, being a New England fan heading in this year, how depressing is that to start off with Jacoby Brissett? But basically, Gerard Mayo is trying to talk about protecting the psyche of your rookie player. If you're not playing well, if he's not giving the best chance to win games, no matter the position, we have to look at a different position. And we talk about a practice, those mental reps. And knowing what every play is, he'll make his checks and stuff on the sideline and continue to develop that way, and he'll develop through practice. He'll get reps still with the first team and also the show team. So that's Gerard Mayo trying to clean up a lot of confusion over the Patriots quarterback.
Stunning. A Belichick assistant who got a head coaching job and is now having to quickly walk back something he said about personnel or anything else. This guy has, for somebody who's very Belichick-like, know your role. Don't give the competition
I don't think he is
anything.
Very Belichick-like.
No,
he's way different than some of the other guys if you listen to him speak.
Right. I just mean in terms of Belichick's approach of just like, don't give the opponent anything. Like don't stick your foot in your mouth. His assistants consistently do. They have issues that I don't know if it's because they try to be Bill at all. I mean, Mayo, like you said, doesn't feel like one of those guys, but I don't know if it's they try to be Bill and people just don't respect it and it causes problems.
I know someone's hat. Go ahead.
There's no equity there. Like, Bill had equity. You know, he could do that. He can get away with that with the players. The other guys have accomplished nothing. Much harder to get away with it.
A former Patriot is very happy that a former Patriot is not in the running between Jacoby Brissett and Drake May. Rob Ninkovich from the Belichick teams on the Dan and Nico show, not a fan of Mac Jones.
He don't like us either.
Oh, yeah. No, he don't like you.
I don't give
he
a
does not like
you. Think
you.
I'll smack the out of
he
Mac
does not
Jones.
Like you.
I don't care.
I'm fine with him. He does not like you.
I don't care. Do you care if somebody doesn't like you?
No.
Exactly.
I'm just telling you.
I hope he has a great career as a backup. He makes a ton of money.
What's the I just love how everybody's like, he's going to look at him. We should never have got rid of him.
Who? Oh, God.
There's people that are out there.
It didn't work out. It didn't work out. They needed a change. The demeanor alone between Mac Jones and Drake May are completely different.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I could listen to I just got to keep working and got to get better. And, I'm just going to keep working hard and everybody together. And it wasn't my best and I got to be better. And over and over and over and over again. I'd rather listen to Drake May talk than, my modeling career didn't work out. So, now I'm back down here in Jacksonville and
I got to go. My mom's picking me up.
Like, it's just, I don't, I'm a nice guy too. I'm a nice guy.
I know. You got a freaking bicycle club.
I'm in a bike club. I need some more nuts.
There you go. That's an ender.
That's a great drop.
That's a great
one. So there's Rob Ninkovich saying, I'll slap the hell out of Mac Jones. Bobby, should we be worried about a play calling change in the NFC East?
It's a legitimate question, I think. Brian Daboll is officially taking over play calling duties with the New York Giants, and that's something that had been expected given how they were approaching everything this offseason, but he officially had confirmed that yesterday with reporters. And, you know, we all think of Daboll as like an idiot at this point, I think, or kind of a dope, like, and just a guy who doesn't know how to manage personalities and everything else. He got this job in New York and he got the prominence that he did because of what he was doing as a play caller in Buffalo. And before that, what he was doing as a play caller at Alabama. And so in the 2 years he's been in New York, he has not had play calling duties. He turned him over to Mike Kafka. So he's taken back over now. So is this something where we got to open up a new dimension? Look at Daboll as a different kind of personality and a different kind of coach. And now we can evaluate him. Or is it more just like, no, he's still a dope and he's got to prove otherwise.
Who's the quarterback?
There
Daniel
you go.
Jones.
Then thank no. you.
Thank For now, you. It's Dak Prescott.
Thank no you. Worry.
Thank you. That's it. Yeah, he got the job. He didn't get the job because of his play calling. He got the job because of Josh Allen.
Well, he got the job because he helped foster Josh Allen, a guy who a lot of people felt was had the talent but was going to teeter depending on who was bringing him up.
Yeah. And Ken Dorsey lost Josh Allen coordinator job, right? Was he the slammer?
Mm-hmm.
Headset slammer. So that's Brian Daboll. Skinny Daboll taking over. I love, though, how he projected the weight gain back. He said, I'll probably gain it back during the year.
Yeah.
Just to let you know.
That's what I'll do.
Yeah.
I'm losing the weight now, and then once football season hits, it's all over.
College football season has hit, and let's talk about a shakeup within the rankings.
Okay, the top 25 was released yesterday. Usually it comes out on like Sunday or Monday, but because of the Labor Day and because there was games all the time, Florida State took a plummet, quite the tumble. They were 10th, and now they are not. See, others receiving votes. You got James Madison in there. You got UTSA. Congrats to the Roadrunners. Air Force. Liberty. Liberty's in there. Tulane.
Liberty.
SMU, 19 votes. No sign. Coastal Carolina and App State and Texas State. No sign of Florida State. They have completely tumbled Texas has a first place vote. They are number three in the coaches poll. So it goes Georgia, Ohio State, Texas, Bama, then Ole Miss, Oregon, Notre Dame, Penn State, Michigan, and Missouri, rounding out your top 10.
It's wild having Florida State and Clemson both tumble out of the top 25.
Well, Clemson's at 22.
Clemson, they are.
Clemson went from 50-1 to 40-1 due to Florida State's two conference losses.
Yes.
And Florida State went from 66-1 to 500-1.
Okay, so because now if you're in, because of the 12-team playoff, if you win the conference, you get an automatic bid to the playoff.
Mm.
So Clemson's road to the college football playoff is much, much easier today because of Florida State. Now, there's certainly a possibility that a team like Boston College or Miami or Georgia Tech even winds up winning the ACC outside of Clemson.
Bob, is there anything you wanted to throw in since you missed yesterday with college football's big weekend?
Yeah, it's a joke to have Clemson anywhere in the top 25. Like, anybody voting Clemson in the top 25 is the same sort of thing that annoyed me last year about where Bama was at the start of the season. Like, there's no justification for, I don't care that you stuck with Georgia for half a game. Like, that doesn't matter to me. You got your ass kicked. Cade Klubnik continues to be a bad quarterback, just like DJ was there. Like, in Dabo, the shine's off of him. As soon as Dabo doesn't have Deshaun Watson or Trevor Lawrence or whatever else, it's amazing in the NIL era how he can't coach very well. ACC was just weak last year. He goes 9-4 with a weak schedule. Mm-hmm. No justification for it. Gets throttled by Georgia. There's no way you can have Clemson in the top
25. It's like, look, there's a situation. Like, I'm okay with them letting them give Dabo the opportunity to do it his way. He's done it his way. It's failed. He's earned the right not to be fired, but he has not earned the right not to be forced to get into the NIL and the transfer portal space. That's the ultimatum. Either do it our way or you're gone. Like, he's earned that right. I get it. It's cool, but that's where they are.
That's also a steep drop for Oregon.
Absolutely.
Oregon preseason was receiving votes for number one, and they go all the way to seven, even though they won. It was a struggle, but they won, and they go all the way to seven.
Everyone wanted to see if it would be Deion against Matt Rhule 2.0 after Shador, and Deion had a big problem with Matt Rhule and Nebraska last year. Yesterday, Deion was all praise, saying, "I love Matt Rhule. I respect Matt Rhule." Matt Rhule talking about the atmosphere he wants to see for the rematch.
Yeah, I think it'll be a great, great, great atmosphere. Night game. People have all day to kind of get themselves ready for the game, and it should be loud, and it should be a home field advantage. Sunday, let's all be in Nebraska nice on Sunday. You know what I'm saying? But it should be a loud, loud, raucous atmosphere.
All right, I need someone to explain to me what the slogan and term Nebraska nice means.
I think Nebraska is just known as, because
is that code for let's get rowdy, or be the St. Louis Cardinals?
No, so like he said on Sunday, be Nebraska nice on Sunday because the game's on Saturday, right? Nebraska fans, and I could tell, they are the nicest fans. They come into your stadium or you go to their stadium. Like, apparently it is the nicest group. I've seen them at a bowl game. They're fantastic. Fantastic people. Like, they're super, like, gracious.
Like Green Bay Packer fans. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, like
that.
Southern hospitality. Yeah. Like just, you know, oh, thanks for coming. We appreciate you.
Yeah. People were guiding me in my parking spot at Lambeau. Like, here you go. Don't worry. We'll move our grills. We'll get this stuff out of the way.
Yeah, you can park in the lawn. It's no problem.
Yeah. Was that an accident?
You want some cheese curds?
Yeah, I love cheese curds. Rankings coming in, or excuse me, ratings?
Yes. And this is, if y'all try to coerce me into talking about anything other than football forever on this show, just remind me to bring this up. Miami, Florida was a 41-17 destruction, 6.5 million. Georgia, Clemson, a 34-3 destruction, 8 million. A&M, Notre Dame, 23-13, 8.2 million. USC, LSU, a game that DirecTV fans did not have.
Yeah.
9.2 million.
Ooh.
NBA Finals clincher was 12 million. World Series clincher was 11 million. Like, we're talking about a game that nobody could watch, LSU and USC, and it had almost the same rating. You had a 34-3 game, have 3 million less than the World Series game.
Hold my hand. Hold it like this.
This is weird.
We're one. We're a football one finally.
Yes, sir.
Here on the show, we have RJ Choppy, the 1,000% convert, whether it's college or Pro. There it is. Everything you need to know for the Wednesday edition of Sean, RJ, and Roberto. Bobby has the refs for us to blame for the Cowboys opener, and we have the first 2024 edition of our NFL Power Rankings, along with a ludicrous ticket giveaway. Commercial-free expressway is next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
We are commercial free. We're going to have a ludicrous ticket giveaway during the hump day edition of Sean, RJ, and Bobby, the great insider from the Cleveland Browns, Mary Kay Cabot, at 8, right after Chopping It Up at 7:40. It's a Meat Church Wednesday with Matt Pittman getting you ready for your tailgate. The first tailgate of the season coming up at 8:20, and Nick Eatman in the final hour of the show. But Bob, let's put the referees on blast who the Cowboys and Mike McCarthy will probably blame if things don't go right Sunday in Cleveland.
Yeah, look, I mean, that is a that's a long-standing proverb, is that, you know, when things don't go your way, look externally for who you can blame. And that's typically been the referees for, I think, fans, players, and coaches alike in recent years. And we've got our built-in excuse, baby.
All right.
Cleet Blakeman and his crew will be officiating Sunday's game between the Cowboys and the Browns. Not great. Not great. Dallas won both games with Blakeman last year, so why would it be an issue if they won with him both those times? What's the big deal? Well, they were at home. And if you're the home team, it's usually a good thing to have Cleet Blakeman. Home teams over the last 3 years across the NFL have won games 54% of the time. So that's regular season and playoffs since 2021 through 2023, 54% of the time the home team wins. When Cleet Blakeman is officiating the game, that jumps over the last 3 years to 63% of the time the home team wins. He is on the upper side, like upper half of the league in terms of flags thrown in the last couple of years. Seattle was one of the games he did last year for Dallas. You remember that was a game where I think each team had like 11 penalties. It was just one of those like, okay, y'all going to make it all about yourselves. So Cleet Blakeman is typically in favor of some home cooking, and that might just be what the Browns get. So that'll be the officiating crew that the Cowboys have in week one.
We have Cowboy Awards that people are either selecting or omitting them for this upcoming season.
Yep. NFL executives are predicting the award winners for 2024. This is another one of the Jeremy Fowler articles. I don't know that I've ever seen a Jeremy Fowler article that was not just, I crowdsourced some stuff.
Yeah.
I think he's good and he's got some connections, but like, it's all just, here's what other people are saying. MVP. Well,
what these reporters, I think, do is, right, they have, it's like what Clarence is doing with Jerry, and it makes sense. You sit down for a 1 hour discussion and then you release your articles in weeks at a time. Yeah. It's not just all one thing. So installment number one was GM Jerry. Installment number two was McCarthy. We'll see if he has anything left in the tank.
And you know where probably all these interviews took place, Sean?
Jerry's office?
No, I mean these ones that like Fowler does, for instance.
Combine.
Indy.
Combine, baby. Yeah. That's got to be the next angle.
We put in the call.
Indy's got to be the angle. MVP Patrick Mahomes runs away with the executive vote. Talking about Xavier Worthy, who's there in the room. One NFC executive said he'll be even better next year. I think they have the speed to help Mahomes get his deep ball back. He and Kelsey seem very motivated by a three-peat and the pressure that comes with it. What they add here is, if you're looking for a good sleeper, this quote on Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott from that same NFC exec is intriguing. I think he's going to have an FU season, shut everybody up, and win an MVP. So there you go. You were trying to figure out yesterday, Chop, why are the odds so low on Dak Prescott?
18-1.
Why are you even given odds on Patrick Mahomes? Why are you allowed to get 5-1 on Mahomes? This NFC executive would agree on both those.
Look, I mean, obviously Mahomes is the favorite, and he's going to be the favorite basically every year of his career. But, you know, giving him odds is that just doesn't make any sense. And then 18-1, look, there are a couple of guys, like if the Jets make the playoffs, Aaron Rodgers at 25-1 is a live bet. Like, that's just the reality of it, you know. And, you know, if the Lions are the one seed or the Niners are the one seed, Purdy and Goff at 18-1 or Dak and the Cowboys are the one seed, those are all live. Like, that's just the reality of it. But basically, to win the MVP now, you got to be a quarterback on a very good team.
I think Dak will be as good roughly as he was last year. I don't think statistically it's going to look like that, though. Like,
it's going to be hard.
I think that there's going to be a lot of, hey, we're trying to salvage jobs here. Like, let's make sure we're not taking any unnecessary risks. Like, I don't think it's going to be this cutthroat, like, pedal
to the
metal. What
do you mean by that?
The coaching staff and the way they're calling these games. Like, I think it's going to be called
in a more conservative game plan.
Yeah, overall for the course of the year. I think it'll look. It'll look somewhere in between what it looked like in the first 5 weeks of the season last year when
that's a hot take.
McCarthy got his way, and then the last end of the season when Dak said, no, I'm taking over the offense and we're going to do what we're going
to
do.
Why would they go back to the first 5 weeks?
No, I think it falls in between that, between the first 5 weeks and what they were the rest of the year. I just don't think they're going to be nearly as prolific. The offensive line is going to have issues pass protecting in all likelihood. That's going to have some growing pains. There's going to be a lot of just targeted. You're going to have Tolbert and Cooks and guys like that step up. I think they're going to run the ball more. So all of those are kind of factors there.
You think they're going to run the ball more
than they did last year? Yeah, I do.
Oh.
NFL executives.
I need to put some of these on the wall here.
Yeah,
and I don't want Bobby twisting it in the wind when, well, I said this, but then I said that. I said it could be right in the middle.
No. I've got my bailout. If they overperform, be like, that's how good Dak is.
Yeah.
There's always an out, Sean. Come on. You got to understand that. Defensive player of the year. The winner of the executive vote was Micah Parsons.
That's right, baby. Not
yes,
TJ Watt.
Yes, indeed. Boy, brought us. We were recording last night. He was saying some stuff that might get you upset, Choppy. He's like, yeah, I think Parsons is going to be like a legitimate linebacker in the defense this year.
What?
Like, he's going to rush a lot, but he's going to play a lot of linebacker is what brought us thought.
Okay, he plays linebacker as long as his
Mike Zimmer will be back on that beach sooner than we thought.
As long as he's a rush of the passer.
As long as he gives us an exit interview. I thought this quote on Micah winning the depoy was kind of funny from this executive. They say the whole Cowboys defense is built around him, and they're going to move him all over the place to isolate matchups, and he's in a contract year of sorts, so the motivation will be there to really break out. And I guess the guy they're talking to, just all he means is Micah is their best player, or that's the guy that has kind of been the crux of it, but I don't know how anyone can claim that Zimmer has built the defense or the scheme around Micah, because we don't know what it looks like yet, and typically Zimmer's defenses are not built around one stud player, and I don't mean that in any sort of a critical way. Like, I think a lot of people go, well, obviously it's not built. There are a lot of defensive schemes that are built around what one player can do for you, and then everything funnels behind that. I think it's more about how does Micah fit into what I do rather than how does the defense fit into what we can do with Micah. And so I think making any assumption that, well, that the whole defense, it's built around him, just feels like a little flippant free talk, because I don't know that they know what they want to do with him totally.
Is that it?
Yes, that's the Cowboys on there.
NFL awards with the predictions from around the league. Yeah, so write down for Bobby, the Cowboys are going to rush it more than last year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, more they will run the ball more than last year. Is that a total number? We got it because you know this guy
per game. I mean, they're going to play the same number of games. So yeah,
the Cowboys' approach will be semi-conservative.
I think those blend.
That fair?
Yeah, yeah. More statement. Conservative than last year.
More conservative than last year. Offensive line with pass pro issues.
Growing pains. Probably better in the second half of the season than it is in the first.
All right, so there's everything. 877-881-1053. Normally, during Wednesdays, 8 o'clock, that is when we unveil the morning show power rankings. This morning, we have Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland to preview Browns Cowboys. So that means we hit the intro right now.
Welcome to the greatest show in sport.
The biggest football game in the history of Western civilization. What a ride it's been.
It's finally time for ours. We've gone around the league. Bobby even compiled some around the country power rankings where the Cowboys belong and everyone else, 1 through 5, 5 through 1, put them down on the Franklin Franco injury attorney text line, as we will do every single week to hold each other accountable on Sean and RJ. 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. And I do have to say, I struggled mightily. When it came to three through five or four and five, I still don't have two or three of these teams written down for power rankings. And I also don't know whether to cheat. The way I'm considering cheating is to try to look good after week one, which would pick the opponent and look at the schedule versus the teams I just think are better right now versus having the better record after week one based upon who they're playing.
Yeah, it was a struggle to figure out how I wanted to do this because like
the Miami Dolphins for me are a team that always like come out of the gate fast. Tua's going to put up 400 yards,
6-0.
They're
going to
score 40 points. Yeah. But they're playing Jacksonville, a little bit tough. I thought about Houston, like in a grouping here. Houston has Indianapolis. That could be a nice jump out of the gate, depending on Richardson. So I didn't know how to approach it.
Yeah.
I think I'm just going to go ahead and pick the team that I just think overall is better, not cheat.
It's good.
Yeah, be honest. Yeah, it's not necessarily the best record or whatever. There's some respect thrown in here, too. There's some of last year thrown in here.
And I guess I should go last because yesterday after Carter Freeman put out the results of all of our fantasy football drafts, and I get it. I understand it. My team is very boring, very blasé. And Peyton Russell was getting a ton of props for his squad that he picked in fantasy.
Best draft I've ever had. 12-team league, and I somehow was able to get Mahomes in, I believe, the fifth round, maybe.
Well, whoop-de-doo. Like, yeah, quarterbacks are going around there. You're not freaking Chris Ballard over here.
But if I got him in the fifth round, that means I went heavy talent-wise in the first four rounds. I went running backs my first three picks.
That just means we let you have him. We could all have had him. We just said we recognize and realize the depth of everything.
I mean, the depth of the quarterback position is wild right now.
And I don't know if you got the email. Carter said it's a $150 league this year. So
did he?
No, he didn't. Oh. I'm just saying that because I'm projected to win it. But
add to my takes, Chop. Peyton will finish below 500 in fantasy.
That's an easy take every year. He's that guy every year.
It's I'm marking this.
My boy Brian Goldberg. I love my team. Love him. And Peyton, have you made the playoffs like recently in the fan? And everyone's crapping on my team. I always make the playoffs. I'm always there. Sandler is a top dog.
I'm always there.
Always. Josh Clark, web guy. Carter does pretty well, but I'm always there. Usually a first or second round exit. I'm the Baltimore Ravens of fantasy.
I don't think I made the playoffs in any fantasy football since probably 2004.
All right.
And I won it my first year playing. Won the whole league.
Because you had Fish as a co-manager.
No. This was like 2004.
Oh.
I rode the backs of Marshall Faulk and Amon Green, and then that's it.
Oh, my gosh.
I won fantasy the first year I played and never won it again. First year I played, it was around that time. It was Priest Holmes I had on my team. He scored 28 touchdowns.
All right, let's go 1 through 5. Start off with numero uno. Do we all have Kansas City?
I have Kansas City. You know, I'm very disappointed in myself. I let you guys, talk me out of the Kansas. You bullied me out of. I had Kansas City one all year last year until about week 14.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then you said, you can't have them there. They're not going to win the Super Bowl.
No.
Or you said something
week to
like,
week. You did a projection of who's going to.
Yes.
And you're like, eventually it's going to be right. So I'm just going to keep them there.
So
that's why we busted.
They could be 0-16 this year, and I'm going to have them number one. I'm just letting you guys know they're going to be number one every single week. Regardless,
right, so we should just cancel the power rankings. Then there's no point.
Well, no, because they're the best. We know they're the best. We know they're going to win the
Super Bowl. Like Basketball Hall of Fame,
Yeah. So I got KC.
Kansas City, number one. Yeah, slam dunk.
I did not go Kansas City.
Whoa!
I went San Francisco.
Whoa!
This offseason, they got the Trent Williams stuff figured out. Brandon Ayuk, they brought him back. They still have Debo, Kittle. Another full season of McCaffrey if he isn't injured. You know, I mean, I really find it hard that anyone in the NFC is going to beat them this year. And Brock Purdy, like, look, you can hate him for his.
I mean, Detroit had them beat last year.
Close, but you know you got to win all. You got to beat him after four quarters.
Wow, is that how it works?
Yeah, that's how it goes. And so Brock Purdy, look, you can hate him because of his talent. I know it's not all there, but he gets the job done. So I have San Francisco one.
All right, I like it.
UKC
early hot take. Kansas City one. I'll just give it away. San Francisco two for me.
Okay, I have Detroit two. The amount of people picking Detroit.
And you're wearing Lions blue. You loving that Dan Campbell Applebee's commercial?
I did like the commercial. I thought it was a little bit overrated. I think it was as funny as everybody said it was.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, it was funny. But it was just like, oh my God, this guy is the next Tom Cruise. Yeah. Like, I don't think his acting chops are all that.
Yeah.
But the amount of people picking them to win the NFC this year is either going to be the obvious pick that everyone gets right or the pick that everyone looks back on and says they were just the chic pick that everybody took and they regret it. But 14 indoor games for one of the best indoor quarterbacks in the league is a good thing.
Yeah, San Francisco is number two for me, and you threw out the number earlier about what their record is with Trent Williams. There are some of those games there where Trent Williams came out early, or the NFC Championship game, Brock Purdy came out early. Since Brock Purdy entered the game against Miami in 23, when Brock Purdy and Trent Williams both play at least 50% of the snaps, they are 22-2. One of the losses is the Super Bowl, and then another one was that Cleveland game where it was a last-second field goal. So, I mean, they are just basically inches away from being 24-0 with Trent Williams and Brock Purdy in the lineup together. And so San Francisco is the best challenge to Kansas City. They're number two.
And I have Kansas City would be 1B, but yeah, number two for me for obvious reasons.
Number three for me is going to be, again, they're the best in the regular season, one of the best. I'm going to the Baltimore Ravens.
Okay.
I know what's going to happen in the postseason in terms of flaming out, but I know what they do during the regular season. Baltimore, number three.
It's like the Bristol bias. Here's your Maryland bias coming through for the Baltimore Ravens.
I have San Fran.
I hate the Ravens, by the way. I was a Redskin fan growing up, and I hated the Ravens.
That's politically incorrect.
It does pain me. Commanders. Yeah.
I have Guardians. San Fran number three. And I'll tell you, I'm not going to go Will Chambers here, but this placement is just out of respect. I think they have themselves a down year.
What's the Will Chambers mention?
On the board, they will miss the playoffs with 9-8 record. That's what Will Chambers says. I don't believe that's the case. I do think, though, they are 10-7, and they do not win the NFC West.
A lot of people down on San Francisco.
Yeah.
If you, just the preseason power rankings, of the five I looked at yesterday, only one of them had them number 2 in the power rankings. Everybody else had them CBS 3rd, Athletic 5th.
What?
SI 6th, Yahoo 3rd.
Why?
Don't know. So Detroit ended up ahead of San Francisco collectively there.
Their O-line is a little bit banged up.
Well, I think also, like, I don't know. I don't want to say the thing's crumbling, but, like, you know, the Ayuk situation dragged on. Just like CD did, and Dak, and the Trent Williams situation dragged
on. Maybe they'll be like, early rust.
But they've done that. They did it with Debo and Nick Bosa recently. The same thing.
Their offseason was not all that dissimilar to ours from a dysfunctional with the contracts.
Yeah, I just look at San Francisco and I say that there's...
They're very good.
When you say whenever the quarterback's healthy, the Cowboys have been successful. Whenever San Francisco's been healthy with Kyle Shanahan, they win. And that's just been where it's at. I've got Detroit number three. That's the best challenger in the NFC right now. Offensive line is probably the best in the NFL. So give me the Lions at three.
I copied Sean here. Number three, I picked the Baltimore Ravens. I'm not sold that, you know, it's their division to lose here, because I'm not sold on Cincinnati. Joe Burrow has to finish the whole year without being injured. Yeah. Jamar Chase, that contract situation, he could miss week one, you know, against the Patriots. So, you know, and then the Steelers are going to be the Steelers. They'll be 9-8, 8-9 around there. You know, so I don't know about the Browns this year. Defense is great, but I have Baltimore. Number three here.
Cincinnati is a pain in the ass to figure out. Mm-hmm. And I drafted Burrow with Tua as a backup.
Well.
But yeah, the Jamar Chase thing is injured. I'm going Lions 4 for me.
Okay.
The Detroit Lions 4, but I am struggling with 4 and 5 here. Lions 4.
I have Baltimore 4. I'm interested to see how the North shakes out with Cincinnati and Cleveland. I mean, obviously, I don't think Pittsburgh's a threat at all. I saw somebody had Pittsburgh as the 9th best team in the league. in the power rankings yesterday, which was just lunacy to me. But this is, I think, the Ravens' division to lose. I don't think there's a question about it.
I'm curious, when you said Detroit, you're struggling with 4 and 5, did that mean you were struggling with placement for Detroit, or you were struggling even putting them in the top five?
No, a placement.
Okay, so you just couldn't figure out which order. I'm going Houston at number 4, adding Stephon Diggs. That defense has a lot of really good young playmakers that are going to be another year into this. And so Houston to me, Stroud, I think he's going to continue his ascent, and Houston's going to be a big-time player in the AFC.
I once again copied Sean. I saw his list, so I went Detroit number 4 here.
Beer pong champs.
Undefeated.
That's right.
You got the hands for it.
I wrote down his options. Miami, Buffalo has not even gotten a sniff in these conversations. Dallas, Philadelphia, Green Bay, but I am going to go with the armpit at 5.
Okay.
And the Houston Texans. So my 1 through 5, Kansas City, San Fran, Baltimore, Detroit, armpit.
I'm going with Cincy.
Ooh.
Not because I think the team is great. I just like
they Joe host Burrow, New England week one. Yeah,
Joe Burrow is that dude. As long as he can walk, he remains the only quarterback in the NFL that can beat Patrick Mahomes in a big moment. He's it. He's the only guy.
And I got him in round 8. What did you guys say?
Yeah, wow. I know. Look at that, Peyton. Yeah.
That means to pick 7 skill players. Did you pick 7 running backs before that? Because that's the only way it's good, according to Peyton.
So, yeah, that's it for me. It's just like, Burrow, he's the only one that can do it. He's the only one, I believe, in the whole league that can beat Mahomes.
Again, curious, why are you such a big believer on Burrow when you lean so heavily on QBR? And Burrow has historically been one of the lower QBR of the top guys.
Because QBR isn't the only one I lean on. I lean on DVOA and adjusted net yards per attempt. Yeah, you got to factor them all in.
Fair enough. Baltimore is number 5. I really didn't want to put them even in the top 5 just to kind of dig in, as Brian Broaddus would accuse me of doing. But and Baltimore is
Metroplex.
Just Baltimore is just a very complete team, and I have too many questions about what is Cincinnati on the rebound. Is Green Bay going to continue the ascent? Baltimore's just the only one I feel comfortable with right now in the top 5.
This one I struggled with. I went back and forth with Philly and Houston, but ultimately I hate Philly this year, at least. So I went with Houston for number 5.
Man, my little protege, my protege.
Were you even considering Philly in the top 5?
Yeah, he listed them.
Yeah, I thought about it for a second.
W.I. Peyton over there.
I mean, Philly, Green Bay. I mean, that's gonna be a fun one to start off Friday in Brazil. If Darius Slay can make it to the stadium.
I saw Slater just running the streets of Brazil on her Instagram story yesterday.
Also just like Uptown.
Yeah, exactly.
So she's in Brazil?
Yeah, she's covering the Philly game.
She'll come back with a boyfriend in Brazil. She's like, I want to make it work. We'll
boyfriend and pink and eye.
A boyfriend and pink eye.
Isn't that where Costas got it? Was sure. It Brazil, right?
Who?
When Costas got pink eye during the Olympics? That was the Brazil Olympics, I think, where you got the pink guy from the poop water.
From swimming in the France River.
877-881-1053 to get in your first official power rankings of 2024 on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line. We are going to chop it up. Mary Kay Cabot previews Browns Cowboys after this.
All right, Tolos, that's right. Right now, call a number 10 at 877-881-1053 wins a pair of tickets to see Ludacris at the Windsor World Casino and Resort on October 11th. That's call a number 10 at 877-881.
Get swung on.
Great giveaway. Thank you to the promo department. Thank you for turning it on, leaving it on Twitch, YouTube, FanCam, Odyssey app, and the radio. Let's chop it up.
All right, here we go, fellas. Let's have a little fun today.
Parents with children. I think all parents have children, but people with children, I should say.
Easy, JD.
Huh?
JD Vance. It's a JD Vance joke.
Oh, I didn't hear. I don't know what he said.
Come on. Keep up.
When you say JD, I think John. I think John Daniels. If you have children in school, you are having major, major flashbacks. They're not hallucinations. They are flashbacks about what your child has in their backpack that you are recognizing from your youth. These are the items that are back in style.
Item
that we used to have. Let me tell you. Tell me if you remember these things. The Bic 4-colored pen.
Yes. Or like the thing like this.
Yeah, it had the 4 different ones that went around: the red, green, blue, whatever.
Yeah.
It looked so much cooler than its functionality. I felt like.
I'm gonna ask you a serious question.
I knew you were going here.
I'm not trying to insult. Did you really go school supply shopping at home school?
Yeah, okay. We did. But even still, like, even if it wasn't for school, like, everybody had those pens for just whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. They did. So those things are back in style. The other thing that is back in style this year is the old school Trapper Keeper.
Oh, yes.
I just think of South Park. Cartman.
I don't want to wait for my Trapper Keeper be over. Yes. I loved them.
Oh, they were great.
Oh, yeah.
And you had to get the special colors. And did you leave?
I had a red one.
And then how long was it where you left the initial piece of paper in the sleeve?
On the left side.
Because I had the thing on the side. Like, some people would take it out, write designs, draw something on it, whatever, put a picture.
I had
a picture of Jennifer Capriati in mine.
Oh.
Back when I was 12 years old.
When you guys school shop, is it like when we think a winter freeze is coming? Is it like empty on the shelves?
How early do you have to
start versus things just running out? Because I went to get Ollie a pair of like kids' scissors the other day. Like, we're all out of scissors.
Well, so they will a lot of times at the end. I don't know if they do it at your age, Chop, but they will a lot of times the school at the end of the year will offer like, hey, if you're coming back to the school next year, you can buy your school supplies now in the spring and we'll have like everything packaged for you.
Yeah.
So they get there on their first day and they've already got everything packaged out. But Kristen did that last year. This year she was like, no, I didn't like the way that went last year. But she's one of these ones who she'll shop for things in spring and then stick them in a closet.
Yeah, Janet does most. My ex-wife does most of the back to school stuff because she's a teacher, so she knows exactly what they need. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's just not available if you get too late.
Like the cool, hot school supply that the kid has to have, whether it's a pen or a binder or a backpack or a what?
Is backpacks there something?
The backpack is like the thing that, like, I'm going to be judged by, at least for my kids at their schools. They're the ones there where it's like, I got to have this backpack. I can't have this one. This one looks weird.
What's cool?
It just depends. I mean, I'll tell you what's weird is going to these middle schools and high schools, and you'll see, like, high school boys walking around with like My Little Pony backpacks or whatever, and they're like, it's like kind of counterculture, like this is funny, but that kind of stuff has become popular among high schoolers.
For my older one, it's like they will only wear Nike. It's like uncool, they don't wear Nike.
Okay.
I hate this Nike backpack.
Where you go, Phil?
How much is it?
Nah, it's like $95. Not that bad.
It's like $95. I don't even spend $95 on my own backpacks. I don't know if it was something for you. All right. How about the composition books? The black and white kind of panda looking composition books.
The Harriet the Spy book.
The hot item this year, the hottest of all, is the classic TI-84 calculator.
Oh. I smashed my calculator like Gronk as soon as I took my final math class in college. Look, get this thing out of here.
That's what they look like now. They look way different.
That's sweet. That is sweet.
That is very cool looking. So that is the must have.
We have an advanced like iPhones. Like I thought I had the TI-83. We're only at the 84. Like we're not at 94, 97. We don't go up in calculators.
Yeah, I think I had the 82, TI-82. But I was like, I was terrible in math.
I didn't even bother with a calculator when Jacob was going through high school. I downloaded PhotoMath, which is an app. You can literally draw a problem out and then hover your phone over it and it takes it.
A Bank of America deposit check?
It instantly gives you the answer and then it says, here's the work. Here's how to show the work.
Wow.
And so that just helped me verify like, all right, this is getting too high. Like I don't know how to like go through this.
What last year, gentlemen, was the hot? It wasn't necessarily an item for school, but everybody had to have one of these
for kids
in general. But kids,
Stanley Cup.
They are not
low T center, baby.
They are not the in style cup anymore.
Oh,
so if you spent your $600 on a pink Stanley, it's already out of style. The Hydro Flash, the Lululemon one, and the Owala are the big cups, mugs, whatever, this year.
I just can't understand that kids take like their own cup to school.
Oh yeah, they have a Gatorade squirt bottle, water bottle.
You can put whatever you want in it.
I mean, it's like
water. Does it have to be water?
I guess it doesn't have to be water, but that's my kids put in it.
Addison, on her very first day of school this year, lost her Stanley. And so Kristen was not happy about that. Somebody like found it and picked it up and gave it to one of the teachers or something. But Kristen was about ready to lose her mind because she's like, you begged for that all year, and now you have it, and you lose it the
first
day.
Is that the one from the Super Bowl?
No. This is one that she got, like, Kristen bought her one. It was like a pink one.
The big thing this year is denim. Jean jackets are back. Jean shorts, jean skirts, everything denim, everything jeans is back in style. So that is the hot back-to-school items that you might be seeing or you see in your kids. You're like getting you a little flashback from our youth. Chopping it up here on 105 Through the Fan. Next up, and if this is not taking advantage of modern society, I don't know what is. There are companies popping up everywhere, though, that are there solely to quit your job for you because you are too unable to have any form of communication with another human being that you won't even go put 2 weeks notice in. So they put your 2 weeks notice in for you.
So is this quiet quitting?
No, this is not be quiet quitting. This is just quitting.
Quitting.
Coward
quitting.
What's that?
Yes.
Coward quitting.
Yes, coward quitting. But yeah, so we just had the great resignation, which you would think is easy to
Is that
quit.
Biden?
No, that was in the post-pandemic era. People were like, I'm not going to work for the man. I'm going to go drop ship. By the way, my kid won't shut up about now.
Drop ship?
He wants to drop ship everything. I found this these floor mats I want to sell. I can buy them for $6 and sell them for
$18. Oh.
Thrifty. Okay.
Yeah.
Is this necessary that, like, do they do the face-to-face interaction for you? Or they're saying, like, we'll draft the letter and send it over? Because, I mean, the ChatGPT can do that.
They draft it and they send it for you from their account. So you never have to... So they send, like, they'll, so you'll get an email from, what's this one company called? Exit. The company's called Exit. Right? So your boss will get an email from Exit and says, this letter is informing you that Bobby Belt is submitting his 2 weeks resignation.
As if you're not going to get a phone call or a follow-up email from the boss or a text.
But what people do is they just deny the call. And
then just quit. Just quit and, like, don't show up to work.
Yeah, and part of the thing they're saying is, and this is a common quote in this, that many people believe colleagues aren't worth saying bye to.
Oh, it's the RJ Choppy principle.
Wait, I said goodbye.
No, you said something about
you said goodbye forever.
When I was out, you said something like you're not supposed to be friends with us or something.
You're not supposed to be friends with your coworkers.
That's what I was taught as a kid. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I grew up like that.
ChatGPT, by the way, this is their suggestion on how to quit. You say, I have decided to pursue a new direction that aligns more closely with my personal and professional goals. That's a nice way to say, I quit.
That is a way to say I quit.
Yeah.
That's basically it. And then one more thing. This is not a story, but I do want to tell you what about my day at Billy Bob's, Sean.
Oh, yeah.
Well.
This was on Saturday, and I was asked to interview a young up-and-coming musician, country music artist, Kat Hasty. And she has
H-A-S-T-Y?
Yeah. She has her first music video coming out, and she filmed it at Billy Bob's that day on Saturday. And they got, I'll be a part of the, I won't be in the video, but I did like an interview with her. So I'm going to get completely cut out of the video.
Yeah, I see why you did this.
I'm going to get completely cut out of this video. But it's very cool. I got her.
Digits?
I got her to cry.
You did?
I pulled a Roy Firestone on her.
What'd you do?
I got her to cry. I asked
her. About her daddy?
No. I asked her about her boots.
Oh.
Her old gringo boots.
There you go.
And she started crying.
On the fan cam, Pepe. Yep. Have you already
I'll
looked her up?
I'll take a little sip.
I bet you would.
Follow her Instagram.
Yeah, so that was cool. I was.
Why did you get chosen for this? Because you bought a truck and now wear cowboy boots?
No, I knew the producer. The producer is of that is Joe Chavez. You know Joe.
Oh, yeah.
He's a tolo. He came out to one of our firehouse events and I got this opportunity for it. I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do it, man. I just drove down. It was 8 in the morning.
Did you listen to one of her songs?
On the way there.
Okay.
On the way there, I listened to a couple
just like
of
like Bobby's
them.
Wife watching Yellowstone.
Yes, absolutely. I did. I did a little, you know, I had to prepare some questions for this, but it was mostly about her new album.
And where's this going to air?
It's going to be all music videos now are basically, they debut basically on YouTube.
So this is going to be...
On her, like, yeah.
In her, a music video.
No, well, the whole music video is going to be like a 10-minute video part. It'll be music and then like interview question thrown in. Then more music, the interview question thrown in. Like, you know, something like that. So
like on MTV or something.
Does MTV still even show music video? I think it's just a challenge.
So this interview is part of her music video.
Yeah, it's part of like the whole relaunch of or the launch of the music video. Yeah.
Wow.
Very cool. Yeah, I was cool. I was cool. I was happy to be a part
so
of it.
So what did they like? Was Billy Bob's empty? And
oh yeah, it was 8 a.m. on a Saturday.
Yeah.
It was completely empty.
What'd you wear?
I just wore jeans and a black shirt.
Okay,
and they wanted me to they wanted
you
me to
do
wear
the Pat McAfee bolo like
oh wait no I'm sorry around Texas I'm sorry they did give me a bolo to put on. They did. I don't have one. The guys like, here, you got to wear this. And I'm like, okay.
So you wore a bolo.
I did. I had a black t-shirt and a bolo on.
Lord,
I did. They wanted to dive in. They really wanted to dive in on this.
Is there a picture?
Yeah, I've got a picture somewhere.
All right, chopping it up. Hump Day Edition, along with a ludicrous ticket giveaway. She is one of the best local beat reporters in the business, maybe the best. Definitely better than the one we have in this room. Mary Kay Cabot previews Browns Cowboys next on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.